Good morning. Good to be with you again, beloved. It was a joy for us this morning as we met together to remember our blessed Redeemer and to recognize that where he is, he's seated at the throne of God, seated high in the heavens, lofty and lifted up, far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named. He is the substance. He is the real thing. Our Lord. We're gonna read from Genesis this morning, in Genesis in chapter 12. Genesis in chapter 12, let's just begin to read at verse 4. Genesis in chapter 12. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from there unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Chapter 13. Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him in the Negev. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the Negev even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Don't know if you ever thought of Abraham as a priest. Abraham as a pilgrim. And Abraham as a praying man. You see, before the institution of the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, the head of the family was the family priest. And so we find that Abraham in that role, time and time again, we would find him building an altar. The place of sacrifice, the place of worship. Then God instituted the priesthood, and he vested it in the tribe of Levi and restricted it to the family of Aaron. The priesthood continued for a long time, and only those who were from the tribe of Levi, and particularly from the family of Aaron, could officiate in the priest's office. But before that, we find that this man, Abraham, and others as well, when When Noah came out of the ark, what he did, he built an altar. He was the head of the family, and he offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. But in this chapter, we find Abraham up and down, and it's hard to think of Abraham ever being down, but yes, he went down to Egypt. Down because the Lord said to him, depart out of thy country and leave thy kindred and thy father's house. But he took with him his father and Lot, and they ended up in Haran. God never sent him to Haran. He sent him to Canaan. But you know, sometimes family ties and sometimes relationships get you off track at times. Because if you turn to Isaiah 51 verse, it says, God called Abraham alone. And Stephen tells us very strongly, beloved, Stephen tells us that God had called Abraham in chapter 7 when he had to testify. I just want to read what Stephen said when they asked him if these things were so of which they were accusing him. And it says, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land in which he now dwells. That was the place that God had called him. But it was after his father was dead. But he was able to go on into the land of Canaan. And there are three things that characterize his life as he was now in the place where God had called him to be. And time again, you would find that he was a man of worship. He was the one that offered sacrifice. That's, you see, his priesthood, his priestly function. He is building an altar wherever he would go. Another thing that characterizes his life, Abraham never built a house. The Bible tells us time and time again he would build an altar. Something solid where he would worship. But he always pitched his tent. The place where he worshiped was solid, while the place where he lived was just a bit of canvas fluttering in the wind. We are told that for Abraham and for us as well, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Abraham was always a pilgrim, moving on. In the land of Canaan, among the hostile people of that land, Abraham wanted all to know that he remembered how he worshipped, he served the one and true God. So in that hostile environment, there in the land of Canaan, among the heathens there, he will call upon the name of the Lord. Abraham, verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land. Before he said, I'm going to show you. But now he's on his way. unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. That's the priestly function of this man of God. He would build an altar. An altar is just for one thing. It's to sacrifice unto the Lord. It is to worship the God of heaven. And Abraham was a man of worship. He was a man who sacrificed unto his God. You know, the first mention in the Bible of the word worship has to do with Abraham. He uttered for the first time in the word of God the word worship. God had called him to sacrifice his son. Again, an act of worship. It's giving unto the Lord. And many would not consider this an act of worship, but he was giving sacrificially. He was giving to the Lord that which the Lord required. And so he journeyed to Mount Moriah. And when he got to a certain place, he said to the young men, abide ye here. You remain here with the donkey. He said to them, I and the lad will go yonder. That's to Mount Moriah. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. What did he have in mind? He was going to sacrifice to the Lord. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and will come again unto you. That's very significant. Because we can find the interpretation of that over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. I will come again unto you. We will come back. You read the book of Hebrews and it says he believed that God was able to raise him again from the dead, from which he received him also in a figure. So Abraham, way back then, believed in resurrection. But he seemed to his helpers, we are going to worship. That's the first mention in the Bible of the word worship. And worship is about giving to the Lord. Worship is about sacrificing to the Lord. Worship is about giving and offering to the Lord. And he was going to offer his son, the son that he loved, to the Lord in obedience to the will and the word of God. We need to understand, beloved, that worship is not something just pull out of a hat. Worship is not something you pick up on your way as you journey to the meeting. Worship will always cost. Worship is always costly. It's not cheap. It's not just you can get up and just wing it and say, I'm going to worship. Worship is understanding the worth of God and attributing to him the attributes, the praise, the honor that's due to his name. And worship always costs. That's why David said to Araunah there when he offered him everything, the threshing floor and the bullocks and everything, and he says, take it all, you are the king, and sacrifice unto the Lord. And David said, no. Because I will not offer burnt offerings unto the Lord of that which doth cost me nothing. So you pick up something and somebody said in the radio, you can't think that's worship. I'm going to bring it here. I'm going to use it. That's not worship. Worship, you have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice your time. You have to give and you have to give and you have to understand what the Lord has done and for us and how much he gave and we can give him in return. When Mary opened that alabaster box of precious ointment, it cost over 300 denarii, the equivalent of a man's wages for a whole year. And Judas said, what a waste. Anyone ever said that to you? Worship is a waste of time. You need to be outside, out there, doing something, working for the Lord. You get together and you worship. You're wasting time. Judas said, what a waste. Jesus said, let her alone. You know it's worship, beloved. Because the Bible says that the whole room was filled with the odor of the ointment. And the brother gets to his feet, beloved, to lead the congregation. Lead the congregation. You can tell that's worship. Because that cost him something. The word that brother gave us this morning about the Lord Jesus being the substance. I bet he spent a lot of time on that. It's sacrifice. It's time. It's time. And Abraham says, we're going to worship. I'm going to give to the Lord. Give unto the Lord that which is due to his name. Abraham didn't worry about, well, this is my only son. You promised me. How can I sacrifice him? What will happen? He left the details with the Lord. Because the Lord had said to him, it is in Isaac shall thy seed be called. But he didn't worry about that. He didn't worry about that. He left the details with the Lord. But he built an altar. He built an altar unto the Lord. And he offered, as far as Abraham was concerned, he offered his son. You know that? He offered his son. It's only God who can stop him while his hand was here. God called him. The altar was built, and Isaac recognized it. He says, the wood is here and the fire, but where is the lamb? I didn't think it took him very long to understand that he was the offering. Unresisting Isaac, not a child. He could have overpowered his father, I believe. He was at that age. But he was a picture of our Lord who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A brother told us that the Lord Jesus was not weak when he was crucified, but that was the only way you and I could be saved. God provided a substitute for Isaac. But as far as Abraham was concerned, he was obedient. He offered up his only son whom he loved. Think of a sacrifice and the sacrifice of sacrifices, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the ultimate. Again, I steal our brother's words. He was the substance. For even Christ. You see, the Passover was a shadow. The Passover lamb was a shadow. But when Christ came, it says, even Christ, the substance, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Not the types and the shadows now, but the antitype, the one God's beloved Son, who was well pleased. He was sacrificed on the cross. The likes of you and me. But Abraham, now he is in the land. It says the land which God had told him of. And Abraham is back out of Egypt. And he is in the place which God had told him of. It's nothing like being in the center of God's will. Being in the place that God had appointed. And beloved, if you and I, if we find ourselves outside the will of God, in direct disobedience to what God has said, there's nothing that you or I can do to please God except to obey Him. Doesn't have a whole lot more to say after you have your clear instructions. And that's why Samuel can say to Saul, after Saul said, "Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord," he says, "Then why am I hearing the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? So, it's not my fault. Blame somebody else. What else is new? It's the people. They wanted the sacrifice unto the Lord. And they brought all these things to sacrifice unto the Lord. You cannot please God by disobeying Him and then offering a sacrifice so that you think God will be well pleased. No, Samuel said, God doesn't have any pleasure in your sacrifices. He says, to obey is better. To obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. So Abraham had to get out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham had to get away from that. He had to get out of Egypt. He had to get out of Egypt. And he's now, he says, beautiful words, in the place that God had called him. Back in the land of Canaan. Not now to Haran, but and into the land of Canaan they came. Nothing else would do. Into the land of Canaan they came. That's the place. That's the place where he worshipped. That's the place where he showed that he was a pilgrim. Not only a priest who offered sacrifices, but he was a pilgrim. He was a stranger. He recognized that he was moving on. This is not his permanent dwelling. He was always recognizing that he had a better place. That's what it says in Hebrews. They recognize that there was a better place, that is, an heavenly. And a heavenly is always better than the earthly. The heavenly place. Abraham the pilgrim. In Hebrews in chapter 11, we see some of his pilgrimage here. Verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went." That's faith. Faith and obedience. By faith, he sojourned. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. Pilgrim. With Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Why was he dwelling in tents? He was a man of means. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He recognized, beloved, that he was passing through. And what a lesson for us as believers. We say it, but we sometimes don't live it. This is not home. We are pilgrims and strangers in the earth. Sojourners. We are visiting. We're visiting. We are pilgrims and we are strangers. Strangers that mean we don't belong here. And we are pilgrims. And what's a pilgrim? A pilgrim is one who is on his way home. On his way home. And that was part of the testimony of Abraham. Always that pilgrim, always that stranger. Unlike his nephew, whom he had to part company with, and his when he said he was going to Sodom to sojourn. That soon became apparent to the dwellers there in Sodom that that was not true. Because when he wanted the men visited Lot to come out to them, and Lot says, "No, you can't do that. I've got two daughters. You can take them." They said, "This man came to sojourn. He came to sojourn. That's what he told us. And now he's a judge over us." Abraham never built a house, but Lot, when he got to Sodom, he was prosperous. He built a house. So he lost his pilgrim character. No longer they considered him a pilgrim, because not only did he build a house, but he was sitting in the gate. He was judging the people. He was permanent. He was part of the political system in Sodom and Gomorrah. He had a high position. And it was hard for him to leave. They had to drag him out of that place. Even though he was sick to his stomach of the lifestyle, I guess he enjoyed the profits, or the prosperity that he had there. He didn't want to leave. They had to drag him out. But not Abraham. He was journeying to a better country, to an heavenly. Kibbutz, that pilgrim. Verse 16 of Hebrews 11 says, well, verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Their testimony was, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." They seek a country. And that country that they sought was a heavenly country. Believers are supposed to be pilgrims and strangers in the earth. You know, once we were strangers here, because we didn't have any claim on God's promises to the Jewish nation. We didn't have a claim on the commonwealth of Israel, according to Ephesians in chapter 2. No claim. But now we are citizens of heaven. We are no longer pilgrims and strangers to the heavenly country, that is. We are citizens. Strangers to God, now citizens of heaven. For our citizenship, according to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he is. Hebrews 13 tells us, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." A pilgrim, a stranger. A pilgrim and a stranger, you don't get bogged down, you don't get too settled. You don't act as though you are here indefinitely. You don't get all caught up with the system that has denied the Lord. You cannot be worldly, a friend of the world, according to James, because you're at enmity with God. You have to understand that you're moving on. That missionary who came back from a long journey and a long stay overseas, and he came back and there was just one lonely Christian that came to take him home, to give him a ride. But on the same ship, there was someone coming back from a big game hunting trip, and everybody was there. There was the band, there was the music, confetti and everything else, and this missionary got discouraged. But the person that came to meet him saw the disappointment, the discouragement in his face, and he put his arms around him, and he said to him, "Don't worry, brother. You're not home yet. You're not home yet." The song that says, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through the shadows. I'll lit up somewhere. Treasures I'll lit up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world. More and more we can understand, beloved, that this is not home. We are in a hostile environment. And let us, like Abraham, call on the name of the Lord. Let those around us, those who are hostile to the cause of Christ, let them see that we serve the living and the true God. Abraham build an altar. Abraham pitched his tent. Genesis 12:8 says, Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. I have a problem with believers who say, "Well, we know the Lord has all the answers, the Lord took care of me." But when we have a problem, the first thing we do, we call on man. We protest, we complain, we demonstrate, we make calls. And when everything else fails, we say, "Well, I think the only thing left for us to do now is to pray." That's the only thing left for us now, to pray. So we use prayer as a last resort instead of a first resource. I believe, beloved, that prayer should be first and foremost. The Lord says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." But we call on man, and the Bible says, "Vain is the help of man. The man whose breath is in his nostrils." They can't do a thing for you. But Abraham called on the name of the Lord, and in the Proverbs we read in chapter 18 and verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." Who goes there? The righteous runneth therein and are safe. He removed from there unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar. He is worshiping again. Build an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Call. The Lord says, "If you call, I will answer." The psalmist tells us in Psalm 20:7, he says, "Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But I will remember the name of the Lord." The name of the Lord. Abraham called on the name of the Lord. A man of prayer. Prayer. A man who recognized that God is over all things and God is in charge. God has the power to change things. So why worry with man. Why worry? We used to sing in Sunday school, when you can pray. Trust Jesus, and he'll be your stay. Psalm 121, we often quote that verse. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? That's a question. From whence cometh my help? The answer is, my help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. That's where the help comes, beloved. That's where the help comes. We always, back where I came from, always in the last day of the year, we had that watch night service at the end. We always sing as it dawned towards the new year. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. He's our help. And Abraham, that man of prayer, that praying man, he called on the name of the Lord. The Canaanites saw it. They recognized it. He was not now looking to the idols of Ur of the Chaldeans. He's not now looking at the Nile that the Egyptians worship. He's now in Canaan. And the Canaanites had to know he was a worshiper of the true and living God. That's where his help came from. Quite a few of those psalms there in Psalm 120 all the way through. But I want to read from 124. It's a verse there. In Psalm 124, and I just want to read that for you before we close. It says, verse 8, it says, verse 7, for connection, our soul is escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. So we read in the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 55, it says, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Call upon him. While he may be found, call upon him. Call upon him while he is near. Abraham called on the name of the Lord. What a difference it made in his life as he's back in the land. Lot had gone, or on his way out anyway, and says Abraham went up. Oh, beloved, that's when the Lord would deal with you. You have to leave that place down there, that place from where you had fallen, from the place to which you had fallen. And he was in Egypt, and he had to go up. He had to go back. He went up. Went up. Restoration. He went up. He left Egypt. And the Lord Jesus said to the church of Ephesus, the one who had left their first love, he says, remember the place. Remember the place from where you have fallen and repent. Remember that place. You have to go back. They have to go back to their first love. Abraham had to go back. Not to place where he went with his father, better go back to Canaan. He had to go back to his tent. He had to go back to his altar. Went up from Egypt with Sarah, his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and in silver. And he went on. He's making progress now. He went on his journeys from the Negev even to Bethel, the house of God, unto the place. Unto the place where his tent had been. He had no tent in Egypt. He had no altar in Egypt. Now he's at the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Between Bethel and Hai. Onto the place of the altar. Back in full fellowship and communion and in the circumference of God's will. Onto the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. If we are outside of God's will, consciously we know that we are outside of God's will, we are deliberately disobeying his word. And God doesn't have a whole lot to say to us until we are in compliance, as they say. We come back and we obey him and we go to the place from where we have fallen and we return unto the Lord. When we return unto the Lord, the Bible says he will have mercy upon us and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon us. Let me just close in saying this. The chief purpose of a priest, and I said Abraham was a priest, and I told you why, was to offer sacrifice to the Lord. And the chief privilege, and you and I have that privilege, the chief privilege of a priest is access to God. Access. You and I are priests. We have access. And we have the privilege, as we did this morning, to offer to him the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his blessed name. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day, a day of worship and service. We thank thee for the privilege of meeting with our blessed Redeemer, for the privilege of offering our spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. The privilege of remembering our Redeemer, the one who first remembered us, who came down to where we were, and who went to the cross. There he gave his life, a ransom for us all. We thank thee for his death, for his burial, and for his glorious resurrection. We thank thee too, Father, for this time we spent together looking into thy word, gleaning maybe a little from thee. We pray that what the Spirit has impressed in our hearts, that we would take it and we would apply it, and that we would live by these words, for these indeed are words to live by. We thank thee for the good example that Abraham had showed. A man of obedience, a man of faith, a man of worship, a man who was a pilgrim, and a man who believed in prayer. We pray that these things would be written in our hearts, that we would seek to emulate those things in our Christian life, because all these things apply to us as well. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for the time we've spent together with thy people here. We ask thy blessing now as we part the one from the other. Lord, watch over us and take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. We bring the whole prayer list to thee that has come today and ask for your help and blessing. We ask thy blessing also on those who are traveling and ask thee to keep them, strengthen them, and make them a blessing wherever they go. For we pray and give thanks in the wonderful name of thy beloved Son, our risen Lord and our glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.